6 o'clock tonight, we start Vacation Bible School, and we want to try to get as many folks here as we can. It's going to be a lot of fun. We've got a lot of great lessons planned. And by the way, it's not just for the kids. What we do here is for whatever age they start with, which is when they start breathing, right, Tom? Okay, when they start breathing, whatever the age they are then, all the way up through adults, okay, we handle them all. We've got qualified people here that can handle adults, okay? So we want to encourage you to come back and be here for Vacation Bible School with us this week. And so that now, you see all the work that's gone into all of this, and I just can't wear a hat while I'm preaching. There's something about that. Even a hobo's got a little bit of respect for things. Anyway, we have a lot of fun, a lot of things planned for this week. One thing I do want to mention to you, if I don't mention it now, I'll forget later on. For the snacks for adults, if you adults want to eat some snacks during the break tonight, then you have to bring your own, okay? This is a BYOS thing tonight, okay? Bring your own snacks. So keep that in mind for that. But we're planning a lot of fun, a lot of great lessons, and some good stuff. We've been talking about getting to know Jesus better in a lot of different capacities that we read in the Bible about Jesus. A lot of things that the Bible says about who Jesus is. And so the idea behind that is we were talking about experiencing God and getting to know God by our experiences with Him. You know, now we're looking at a closer look at Jesus and trying to get to know Him better in these capacities that the Scriptures talk about Him in and share with us a little bit more about who He is. We began in this study talking about Jesus as the Creator and looking at His involvement in the creation. We talk about Jesus as Emmanuel, the fact that He is God with us. And then last week we were talking about Jesus as the Word. Well, this morning we continue on looking at Jesus in the capacity of Jesus as the teacher, which if you think about it makes sense because, again, last week we talked about Jesus as the Word, and what is it that teachers usually bring to us? They usually bring the Word, right? You see? And so we're going to look at Jesus as the teacher in that capacity. Jesus oftentimes was referred to by not only His disciples, but even by the Pharisees and the scribes different times referred to Him as rabbi or teacher, you see. And so people recognize Jesus as a teacher, you see. So let's take a look at some things that the Bible has to say about Jesus as a teacher, and what does that mean for us today, okay? I want to start off, if you turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 5, okay. If you look on your notes, you see there that point A on there is between the bookends. Okay. Well, what do we mean by that? Okay. If you look in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, look at the statement that it makes here. Now, when He saw the crowds, He went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to Him and he began to teach them, saying. Okay? Now, keep your finger right there and go over to chapter 7 and verse 28. And what we read is this statement that says, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at His teaching, because He taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. And so, you see, one of the things that we begin to see as we look at Jesus as a teacher, and the reason that I refer to these as bookends is because you see that statement at the beginning, He began to teach them these things, and then at the end, when He finished these things, teaching them these things, and then we take a look at what do you find between the bookends? Well, typically, what do you find between bookends on a shelf? You find books which have a lot of words or knowledge or information, right? And that's exactly what you find between these two bookends. The sayings of Jesus or the teachings of Jesus between these two bookends are some of the most profound teachings in all of Scripture. See? And it's interesting that we find this kind of a breakdown. There's really three major breakdowns or divisions of these just amazingly profound teachings in this. If you look in verses chapter 5, 1 through 12, we have what is referred to as the Beatitudes, or as someone has referred to as the Beatitudes. These are the attitudes that should be in all Christians, you say. Chapter 5, 1 through 12. Those Beatitudes. And then after that we find this declaration or this ethical admonitions. Look in chapter 5, beginning in verse 13 through verse 20. And we find these statements that Jesus makes as He's telling His followers, you are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. He talks about the fulfillment of the law. So these are the kinds of things that Jesus is saying, okay, here's some things that you need to be keeping track of and realize who you are in life. If you go over to chapter 6, beginning in verse 1 through most of the remainder of this section, he continues with these same kinds of teachings. Chapter 6, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by men. He talks about prayer. Chapter 6 and verse 5, fasting down in verse 16. So there's all this series of this group of teachings and admonitions on how we should be living our lives. And then there's this third group of teachings or this group of information, which is basically from chapter 5, verse 21 through verse 48, which are contrasts between what the teachers of the law had to say and what Jesus is saying. And that's where you look in this section, verse 21 of chapter 5. He says, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago. And in each section, you find that very same statement. You've heard that it was said, but I tell you this. See? And so that's what we find in this section here, between the bookends of this of Jesus, the greatest teacher that ever was. And in all of the Scriptures, as I mentioned, this section is some of the most profound teachings that Jesus had to give to humankind. So what I want to suggest to you is, if you want to know some more about Jesus and what Jesus thought, you need to spend some time between the bookends, you see? And that will help you to get to know Him better. Now, one of the things that we have to keep in mind about teachers, and you guys who are teachers like Dale, Tammy, you know, you guys that are teachers, you tell me if I'm wrong. When teachers are teaching, okay, they like for students to listen to what they have to say. That's right. That's correct, right? Y'all like to do that. You like for your students to listen to what you're saying, to hear what it is that you have to say. Well, Jesus is no different as a teacher. He gave just some amazing things to teach people, and He wants us to listen to what He has to say. So we look at this next section and called Hearing and Doing. Okay? Jesus not only gives us a lot of information, but He expects, okay? Doesn't just want us to, He expects us to follow what He says. Okay? To hear what He has to say. To listen to what He says. If you look over in chapter 7, okay, what do we find right here? Okay? In this group of these profound teachings, we find this admonition here on the part of Jesus teaching, saying, okay, I'm sharing all of this information with you. I'm telling you these things that you need to know. Now, what are you going to do with them? Okay? And it's so important that we've even made a song out of these verses, haven't we? I think the song goes something like this. Wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And the rains came a-tumbling down. Oh, the rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. And the house on the rock stood firm. Oh, the foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And the rains came a-tumbling down. Oh, the rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. And the house on the sand went splat. So build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. Build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ. Build your house on the Lord Jesus Christ, and the blessings will come down. All right, so you see what you just did. I cut it off there. I caught some of you. What you just did was you just sang Scripture. Did you realize that? Some of you were sitting back there kind of going, are we allowed to do that? You know, we're singing during the sermon. That's Scripture. We just put it to song. But think about the implications of what those words are saying. It's not just a really neat little children's song we sing at Vacation Bible School. That's the words of Jesus. And what are those words saying? Anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rains came and the waters rose and the winds beat against that house, he says. That house stood firm. And then he says, anyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like that foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the same rains came. And the waters rose, and the winds blew against that house, and it didn't stand. Why? He says, because it did not have a solid foundation. That's Jesus' teaching. See? That's Jesus' teaching. That's telling us the importance of not just hearing what Jesus has to say, not just reading about what He said, but doing it. Actually doing what Jesus says in our lives. So you see, it is important to listen to the teacher and to do what the teacher says. You see, one of the things that we have to understand is that it's one thing to listen to what someone has to say, but if we don't follow through and we don't do what we're supposed to do, what the teacher says, then we're not going to find the blessings. If you want proof of that, go over to something else that Jesus says in John chapter 13. Jesus washed the feet of His disciples. We've talked about this before in different times. Jesus washed the feet of His disciples, and after He was finished washing their feet, He said to the disciples, do you understand what I just did for you? He said, you call Me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. He said, if I, your teacher, can wash your feet, so you must wash one another's feet. Okay. And He goes on to talk about how no student is greater than his master. And He says in verse 17 there, He says, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. You see, here's another profound teaching from the great teacher, that the blessings come with the doing. You see, not just with the knowing, but they come with the doing. That's the follow-through, you see. And that's an important thing for us to keep in mind, the lesson to learn from the teacher, because I think so many times in life, you know, we kind of get trapped in this whole concept that says, I'm going to do something when I feel like it or when I know that, hey, this is going to be my reward for so doing it. And what Jesus is saying is wrong thinking. What we need to do is we've got to look at it and go, I may not feel like doing this particular thing, but I need to do it, and the blessings are going to come to me after I've done it. You see? Too often we want the blessings first, don't we? You see? We want the guarantees, and we want to make sure everything's going to work out right before we do what He's told us to do. And Jesus makes it very clear, the blessings come after the doing. Okay? So it's important for us as we look at the teacher to look at and understand, you know, it's not enough just to hear what the teacher says, but we've also got to do it. Take a look at what James has to say over in James chapter 1. Beginning in verse 22, James says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves." Okay? Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. You see, the blessings aren't in what we know. The blessings are in what we know and what we do as a result of what we know. The two of them go hand in hand. I've known a lot of people who could quote Scripture, you know, and just you sit and go, wow, they sure know the Bible. They know a lot of what the Bible says, but when you look at their life, and I'm not saying this as a judgmental statement, I'm just saying it's really obvious, they're not living it. You see? They know what it says, but they're not living it in their life. And so there's a statement there that says, what's the value of knowing something if you're not going to do it? You see? And James, like Jesus, makes this contrast between those who not only hear or know the word, but they actually do it. In this case, it's kind of like you get up in the morning, and you're like me, you look in the mirror and you go, man, that face looks kind of scruffy this morning. And I walk away from it and, hey, forget what it looks like. See? And sometimes I'm glad I forget what it looks like. But the point is, you know, what if you look in the mirror and you got, you know, something there on your face and, you know, and you see it and then you just walk away and you don't do anything about it? See? We look into the mirror of God's Word and we see that there are things in our life. That's His point. There are things in our life that we need to change. It doesn't do any good to walk away from the Word that we've looked into and said, oh yeah, I need to change that in my life, and then not do anything about it. What we need to do is to hear the Word, we look into it, and we see the things that we need to change in our life. And then we go about making those changes, doing what the Word says. So you see, it's not enough just to hear what a teacher has to say. We've got to do what the teacher instructs us to do in our life. Now, there's one other thing that we have to keep in mind about teachers, and Jesus is certainly no exception to this. One of the things that teachers like to do, I'm convinced of this. I had teachers that, you know, that I think they just sat up at nighttime, you know, just kind of thinking of ways they could try to put trick questions on tests, you see? Because I think teachers, Dale, is this true? Teachers like to give tests, right? He's over there going, he put me on the spot again. No, you know, that's one of the jobs that teachers do is they give tests, right? And the reason they do that is because they got to find out how much you know, how much you're paying attention, right? You see? Well, Jesus has a test of His own. Did you know that? Yeah. Jesus has a test. It's a test of discipleship. Yeah. Yeah, take a look at the discipleship test. Look over in John chapter 8 and look at what Jesus has to say beginning in verse 31. He says, if you hold to my teachings, then you are truly my disciples. Okay? Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So you see, here's a disciple test. How do we know whether or not we are truly a disciple of Jesus? The answer to that is, are we holding to Jesus' teachings? You see, are we doing what He tells us to do? If we are, then we are, as He says, truly His disciple. If we're not holding to His teachings, that is, doing what He tells us to do, then we're not truly His disciple. That's a real simple test, isn't it? You see? We're either doing what He tells us to do, or we're not doing it. Now, keep in mind, I don't think that Jesus' intention is there that, you know, you're trying, but you stumble and sin all the time. We all do that. That's not His point. His point is that those who are trying to live their life in obedience to His Word, to His teachings. That's why He uses the word hold to. You see, that's a way of life, that we are striving to live after His teachings in obedience to Him. You see? And Jesus sets that as a test for discipleship, as the great teacher gives tests. Jesus gives that test of discipleship. And then there's another statement that I want us to look at. We're going to finish up with this. Look over in Matthew chapter 13. Again, Jesus focusing on His teachings, the things that He is sharing, His Word that He's sharing with disciples. And we find here in Matthew 13 the story, the parable of the sower. Okay? And Jesus, as He's telling this parable, notice what His explanation of this parable is. Okay? He talks about the farmer that goes out. This is in verse 3. The farmer that goes out to sow the seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell in the rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered, because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Look at what He says in verse 9, he who has ears, let him hear. Well, the disciples are a little bit confused about this teaching. You know what? He's teaching us in parables. I'm not sure, quite sure I understand exactly what you're saying. And Jesus goes on in verse 18 to explain what this parable means. And look at what He says. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. So you see, Jesus, in talking about, you know, just using a parable to teach, sowing seeds, places the emphasis again on the hearing of the word and then the follow through. What do you do with the word that you receive? And so, you know, as we look at Jesus as the teacher, What does that have to do with us today? How do we relate to that? Well, first of all, we have the very same teachings of Jesus that the disciples in the first century had, don't we? Don't we? Yeah, they're the same ones. Okay? And those same teachings apply to you and I today the same way they did back then, don't they? Yeah. You see? So if we have the same teachings and they apply in the same way, then the same test as a discipleship, that would apply also, wouldn't it? Yes. Okay? You see? And the results of the seed that is sown, as Jesus describes in the parable, would be the very same today also, would it not? Yeah. You see? And by the way, I think that's part of the marks of a great teacher. The things that he taught are timeless, aren't they? You see? They're timeless. They apply to us today just as powerfully, just as important as they were when he originally made those statements. And so you and I today, here's what I want to challenge you with. We need to look at Jesus as the great teacher. And by the way, there's a lot of other things we could talk about Jesus in terms of being a teacher. We didn't even get into all the parables and the ways that he taught and so forth. But that's for another lesson some other time. But you and I need to take the teachings of Jesus. We need to look at what Jesus brought us as the Word. And we need to see how it applies in our lives every day. And then we need to be, we basically need to make a decision. We're either going to follow those words or we're not going to follow those words, one way or the other. See? So here's what I want you to think about. We're going to sing a song here in just a moment. And just think about the teachings of Jesus. Think about some of them that we've talked about this morning, but just the teachings in general, what you know about what Jesus has taught, and what kind of decisions are you making in your life. And the reason that I say that and put it that way is because that's what we're going to be talking about in our Vacation Bible School all this week, is making the right decisions or choices. We have a lot of choices to make every day in our lives, you see. And being not just successful in the world, but being successful in Jesus is about making the right choices. And we make the right choices, I believe, based on having the right information. And Jesus has given us the right information in order for us to be His disciples. What we've got to do is decide. What are we going to do with that information? Are we going to follow it or are we going to ignore it? Maybe someone here this morning that is wrestling with that very decision in your life right now. What am I going to do with the teachings of Jesus? Am I going to do what He tells me to do or am I just going to ignore it? Maybe someone here this morning who's been following Jesus in your life, but maybe there are some things about the teachings of Jesus that you look at and go, yeah, I know what it says, but. Well, you know, there's no room for that. We've talked about that many times before. It's, do what He says or not do what He says. And so if you're already a Christian, but you're struggling with things in your life that you know you shouldn't be doing, but you're doing them anyway, then you need to get that straight with God. See, you need to make that right. And sometimes we just need some guidance, some encouragement, some prayers to help us to do more of what God wants us to do in our lives. And that's what we're all about, you see? To help one another, to encourage one another, to be what God wants us to be so we can be more like Jesus. So, Wes, if you'll come up and lead us in the invitation song, the Lord's invitation is open to anyone. If there's something that we can do to help you, then all you need to do is come up and let me know. Dale, will you go in the back there? Dale will be in the back to receive anyone. If you'd like to go back and talk to him privately, have a private prayer with him, he'll be back there to receive you in the back. Let's stand together and sing.